get it, Donnie. You're out of your element.
Yeah.
I am the walrus.
Shut the f***, Donnie.
Near the In-N-Out Burger.
Those are good burgers, Walter.
Shut the f***, Donnie.
Who's in pajamas, Walter?
Shut the f***, Donnie.
Armchair.
There's something, I'll say there's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Have any idea?
Really, this
you
is what you're doing?
You have any
this
idea?
What you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
Same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station. The radio station you can call your own. What listeners like about our station?
I like everything.
It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
You're listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country, your first choice for Southern sports. Good afternoon. I'm Mac McGee, and I don't know much, but I know one thing. The Browns are now the Jets, and the Jets are the Browns. More on that.
Armchair.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. The All-American man.
With a cool one in his head.
Yeah, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? Hope you are having an outstanding day as we get rolling here. Look, the big news around the NFL this week is obviously the news that broke on, I guess it was Tuesday, about Deshaun Watson. Wednesday. I believe it was Wednesday morning. Broke about Deshaun Watson having season-ending surgery. And it's a huge deal because you look at Cleveland, who is sitting there at 6-3, a game behind or half game behind Baltimore for the division. They just beat Baltimore. They had won 4 of their last 5 games and looked like that they could have really turned a corner there. And with Baltimore playing Cincinnati this week and Cincinnati really grasping at straws at this point, really needing a big win this week, they need a win to save their season, the Bengals do. Cleveland looked like they could be in right there in the thick of it to strike and possibly take this division. But instead, what you have is the reality is a team that has 6 wins, 3 losses, and it's going to be tough sledding going forward. That defense, this team is going to mirror the New York Jets. One of the better defenses in the league, but can they withstand the injury to their top quarterback? I think the biggest difference is, honestly, whether people want to believe this or not, P.J. Walker is a better quarterback as far as being able to manage the game than what a Zach Wilson is. And so when you look at this going forward, I think there is possibly a path for the Cleveland Browns to get to the playoffs. And this is why I say this. You got to figure with 7 teams making the NFL playoffs in each conference. And right now, Cleveland is sitting there at 6-3. Now, the funniest thing is there's really only 2 teams you could say in the AFC that are essentially out of it. And that would be the Tennessee Titans sitting at 3-6. I know in theory Tennessee could get hot and get back in it, but let's be honest, 3-6 with a rookie quarterback, you're going to want to see improvements down the back half of this season. You're not necessarily looking for wins and losses if you're Mike Vrabel and company. And New England's absolutely out of it. Everybody else in the AFC has 5 wins or less. 14 teams in the AFC has 5 wins or less. Much different look than if you go over to the NFC. You go over to the NFC, there's only 8 teams with 5 wins or less. And what does that tell you? Well, without breaking it down and going play by play and team by team and game by game, what it essentially tells you is the AFC has fared much better against the NFC. You've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers sitting at 4-5. That's the only team that would be in the top 13 in the AFC, sitting at number 8 in the NFC. Everyone else below Tampa Bay, we're talking about Washington, Atlanta, Green Bay, the Rams all have 6 losses. Chicago has 7. Giants, Arizona, and Carolina all have 8 losses. It's a bad conference. But regardless how you look at it, only 7 teams are going to make the playoffs. So it's good to be in the NFC this year. You look at the AFC, and is Cleveland capable of getting to the playoffs? They're sitting at 6-3. So that's 9 of the 17 games. Obviously means that they've got 8 left. And if you look at that and you say, okay, well, how can we get to the playoffs if I'm a Cleveland Brown fan? Take a look at their schedule. And what I'm saying here is, as we sit here, it might be a little delusional to think 10 wins is going to get you in the playoffs unless you're in a bad division in the AFC, like possibly the AFC South. Every metric shows me that most likely to be a wild card in the AFC, you're most likely going to have 11 wins or more. So an 11-6 record or better. You might sneak in with 10, but I think you got to get 11. So that means that Cleveland, and look, there will be some cannibalization of these teams. You're going to see teams knock each other off as we'll get heavy into conference and divisional play in the back half of the season. But for right now, for argument's sake, let's just go with the assumption 11 wins. Because I'm looking at teams here in the AFC, Kansas City, Baltimore, Jacksonville, Miami, I think you can all put them in. I think there is a very good chance that either Pittsburgh or Cincinnati gets in. And then after that, it becomes a crapshoot. Buffalo is not Buffalo. Buffalo is 5-5 this year. They go out and they fire Dorsey, their offensive coordinator, but let's be honest, it's not all his fault. This team has not had it from day one. If they weren't sitting there at 500, 10 games into the season, I think there'd be more of a cry as this is the most disappointing team in the National Football League. So 5-5 is not jump off the cliff time, but you could make the argument this team is one of the more disappointing teams. I'm not going to put the Jets in that conversation because their star quarterback goes down 4 plays into the season. That's a bad argument. I personally didn't have a lot of hopes for the LA Chargers this year because I felt like that there was going to be a hangover effect from blowing that big lead in Jacksonville in the playoffs. And I think that's exactly what we have seen. But with that being said, you're talking about the biggest disappointments in the National Football League. It doesn't get much bigger than Buffalo. If you look over at the NFC and you look at the teams with losing records, there's not a lot of shock. Washington, Atlanta, Green Bay, Rams, Bears, Giants, Arizona, Carolina. There's not a lot of shock that these teams are under 500. So I think you can make the argument right now, and there's no way you had high hopes for New England, Tennessee, Denver, Raiders. I think you've got to put the biggest disappointment in the National Football League right now is the Buffalo Bills. They have an opportunity to dig themselves out of it, but at 5-5 and sitting on the outside looking into the playoffs, that's a problem. So how does Cleveland get to 10 or 11 wins? They have the Steelers at home this week. They are at the Broncos the following week, which is a winnable game. They are at the Rams the week after that, which is a winnable game. They're at home against the Jaguars, home against the Bears, at the Texans, home against the Jets, and at the Bengals. And what you have to figure is, bare minimum, you got to go 4-4 to make the playoffs down the stretch if you're Cleveland. I think you would like to go 5-3, but you might be able to get in at 10-7. You might be able to get some tiebreakers, etc. But it's going to be tight. Right now, as we look at this, I do think the Bears is a win. I think the Broncos in Denver, they're probably going to lose that one. They may sneak one out at home against Pittsburgh this weekend. But really, I like Pittsburgh in that game. There's only a couple of games that I can say they have at least, if nothing else, it's a 50-50. I don't know if they would be decided favorites over any of these teams. Maybe the Bears at home. But the Jets, that's in late December, and according to Aaron Rodgers, he'll be back by then. I got to see that to believe it. I think that's a lot of hot air. I think Aaron Rodgers just does not like people not talking about him, so he's going to continue to tell Pat McAfee that he could be coming back sometime in December. It really just drags the inevitable out, which will be they'll shut him down. But if you get a couple of delusional fans, a pipe dream, I guess what's the harm? But there's just no way in hell a 40-year-old man with a torn Achilles is going to come back and play football that quickly. I know we had a pretty quick turnaround for Cam Akers, but he was also, what, a 22-year-old man? 22-year-old kid? I can't see it. Anyways, Cleveland is going to have to find a way. It really makes this weekend a must-win game for the Browns. Because if you drop that game and then you go to Denver and you go to the Rams, and those may not be playoff teams, they are teams that are capable of beating you for sure, especially when they're at home. They're going to come home and play the Jaguars. Jaguars are a much better team than Cleveland. Not in any team in the NFL can beat the other team in any given Sunday. We know that. But let's be honest, they're going to be a home dog. The Bears and the Jets are the only two games that I say are giving me. So, for all intents and purposes, I believe Cleveland's season rides on this weekend, because if they do not get the win, they are going to be up against it down the stretch. What they're going to be looking at that point, let's say they lose to the Steelers this weekend. The Cleveland Browns would then go from being, what, number 6 in the league at 6-3 to 6-4, somewhere around 10th, right? And you've got to look at it then that you would have to win probably 5 out of your last 7 games. It is a must-win game for them this weekend. Must win. other things going on around the National Football League, it looks like that T. Higgins is going to miss the Thursday night game. We will have play-by-play of Thursday night football on Braves Country Radio on YouTube. So make sure to find us and tune in there. Haven't done a game since the World Series, so looking forward to it. That's a pretty darn good one to get started with. You've got the Bengals versus the Ravens. And that game is going to be pivotal for that division, for the entire AFC, for that matter. Because there's going to be playoff implications down the line. Right now, Baltimore sits atop the AFC in the number two slot at 7-3. Cincinnati is number eight at 5-4. The Bengals can ill afford to fall to 5-5, and more importantly, they'd fall another game behind Baltimore. This is a game they have got to figure out. You look at the line on that game is in Baltimore. The Ravens are a 3.5-point favorite. And it looks like it's going to be pretty good weather. They're expecting it to be in the low 50s, upper 40s during the game, which is pretty darn good weather for Baltimore in mid-November. And you look at that game, and it's also key because the rest of the division is squaring off. This is a division week in the National Football League. You got a lot of division rivals going head to head. You've got Ravens, Bengals, Steelers, Browns, Bears, and Lions. You've got a showdown of the Commanders hosting the Giants. And though the Giants are well out of it, the Commanders still have a pulse in that very, very weak NFC. And if they can find a way to get a win against New York, they poke their head back in, right? Titans are at the Jaguars. Not a big game necessarily for Tennessee, but for Jacksonville, they need to win this game. They need to get back on the winning track after getting absolutely pummeled in the home game against San Francisco 49ers coming off their bye. They got blown out of the water. And then you've got a couple other games, divisional games. Jets are at the Bills. That's a late afternoon kickoff. You talk about what is probably going to be a bloodbath. The Buccaneers are going to the 49ers. That line is 11.5. That line is not big enough. Just like the Cowboys are a 10.5-point favorite at the Panthers. I get it, it's on the road, and I get it, it's the NFL, and blah, blah, blah. Cowboys should roll that game. The Cowboys should go out there and win that game by 25, 30 points. And then you've got couple of interesting matchups. I cannot believe that we're still not flexing. I think the cutoff, I think they start doing it after Thanksgiving. Vikings and Broncos is the Sunday night game. So, A, it's incredible to me that we're not flexing yet. I feel like flexing, you should have the ability to flex in the National Football League as early as the first weekend of November. It is stupid that we're not doing it. I get if you don't want too much flexing going on the early part of the year, let the dust settle, so to speak. We get to this part, we're going into week 11 of the National Football League. It is past time to be able to flex this. Vikings and Broncos. I don't remember the last time I got excited about a night game in the National Football League. Vikings and Broncos, are you serious? Thankfully, we do have a good, very good, elite Monday night game. The Eagles are going to be at the Chiefs this Monday night. But Vikings and Broncos, that's where we're at. I mean, even though it would have been a little more inept, I'd be more interested in seeing the Jets and Bills on Sunday night. I definitely can see a couple other matchups. Steelers and Browns, of course, now that Deshaun Watson is out, it's not as exciting, but you wouldn't have known that information when you flexed it. And 6-3, 6-3, Steelers, Browns, give that to me on Sunday night and not the 1 o'clock kickoff where it gets kind of flooded in with everything else. That is unbelievable, though, that we are still not flexing games. That's kind of the lay of the land of what we got going on here heading into week number 11 of the National Football League. We're going to jump off here, take a really quick break. When we come back, we're going to give you our power ratings, and we're going to take a look at the early lines around the National Football League. Over-unders, point spreads, all that jazz. We'll be back in a flash. Keep it locked in here on 99.1 FM WQEE. Hey, Braves Country. Braves Country HD is bringing you Braves Country Baseball. Braves Country comes to you every Tuesday night and Friday night, and two bonus games every week. Hi, I'm Mac McGee, and we'll be bringing you play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch of your Atlanta Braves. It's free to listen. Please like and subscribe. YouTube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country Baseball, for the fans, by the fans.
Here's good news. There's still a need for hundreds of thousands of cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. right now. And My Computer Career is training people to help meet the demand. No IT experience? No problem. Take the free career evaluation today. Start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Enjoy sun-drenched days, epic stays, and plenty of room to roam in Greater Fort Lauderdale. Our hotels, attractions, and restaurants have taken the Visit Lauderdale's Safe and Clean pledge so you can relax and explore with confidence. When you are ready for that well-deserved staycation, our 23 miles of golden beaches await. Find wide-open spaces to hike, bike, kayak, and paddleboard. Visit your favorite attractions, then dine out in style in dining rooms or al fresco on waterfront patios. Learn more at sunny.org.
For 40 years, no team was ever as bad as the Pittsburgh Steelers. Their offense looked as if it were directed by the Marx Brothers. And on defense, they went down like paper soldiers in the wind. But the Steelers' sad story became ancient history when owner Art Rooney hired Chuck Knoll as head coach. Knoll came from a winning background with Cleveland, and recalled that the Browns used to make fun of the Steelers. Upon accepting Rooney's offer, Knoll vowed no one will laugh at this team ever again. In just 4 years, Knoll rebuilt the team, and in 1972, the Steelers made the playoffs for the first time.
Armchair.
Do you like to drink a cold one on the weekend and get a little laugh? I'm sorry, or I love you, but you don't know how. Do you wish somebody had the nerve?
Welcome back.
That stupid boss of yours to shove it next time he yells at you.
National Football League.
Well, this is country music.
We got a good one, Thursday Night Football.
So turn it.
The almighty Bengals and Ravens. That's a fun rivalry. I'll tell you what, any of these rivalries in the AFC North are a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to covering that game tonight. We'll bring it to you play-by-play on Braves Country Radio. Find us on YouTube today. All right, let's go ahead and get into our power rankings. We're still doing 10 right now. We may expand or retract depending on what the season's looking like. But as of right now, we're going to continue to do 10. And you obviously, this week we'll go top to bottom. Sometimes We like to go bottom to top. This week we'll go top to bottom. Think it plays out a little easier that way this week. And look, looking at the top of the league, I think we're going to get our answer on Monday night. I'm still going to say that the Kansas City Chiefs are the number one team in the league. And they're going to square off with the Philadelphia Eagles this weekend. And I can't say that I'm 100% in belief that the Eagles will not win that game. The Kansas City could lose that game. I am aware of that, but it's in KC. And I think they're going to walk out of there with the same record. And I think the Chiefs, who are a three-point favorite, and rightfully so, are going to find a way to beat Philadelphia. It's a rematch of the Super Bowl. Probably one of the more anticipated games of the entire season so far. And I just really like the Chiefs to win this game. And if I like the Chiefs to win this game, then I've got to take the Chiefs and put them as my number one team. Philadelphia, I'll go ahead and concede that they're the number two team, although I don't believe they're playing quite the way that they were playing last year. But 8-1 is 8-1. You can't argue with that. So then it goes down to who is the number three team in the league. And I think it would be really easy to say Detroit, because they are sitting there at 7-2. They're just above Baltimore and San Francisco and Jacksonville and whatnot. But I'm telling you right now, I may die on this hill, but I'm going to go ahead and ride with the San Francisco 49ers as my number three team in the National Football League. I don't think it's particularly close. And when it's all said and done, I think the San Francisco 49ers are heading to the Super Bowl. But because they had that three-game skid, you can't put them above Philly. You can't put them above the Chiefs. But I can put them above the Lions. The Lions had a hell of a scare and almost got knocked out at the Chargers. But the Lions are in a very good opportunity to where, because of that win by Detroit, they've got an opportunity here. They may not be the best team in the NFC, but they got a chance to have the best record and make the playoffs go through Detroit. I don't believe that's going to matter when it's all said and done. I still believe a team like the 49ers can go into Detroit in January and win. But that would be a hell of a feather in the cap of Dan Campbell and company if they were able to do that. To be able to be the one seed and hopefully get through the first round that they would play, they would obviously get the bye. You know how big that would be for that franchise to get to the NFC Championship game? Holy cow. They got past that Chargers game, and that was a key game. Listen to their schedule the rest of the way. Bears this weekend. So it's Bears, Packers, both of them in Detroit. At the Saints, at the Bears. Road games, but very winnable games. At home against Denver. Very winnable. At the Vikings on Christmas Eve. Crapshoot. You never know how that's going to play out. But regardless. At the Cowboys on the 30th of December. And they finish it off at home against the Vikings. Very good chance Detroit's going to end up with the best record in the NFC if Philadelphia falters at all. And Philly's got a much tougher road. They're obviously playing Kansas City this weekend or on Monday. But you look at the rest of the Philly schedule. They've got the Bills. They got the Niners. The Cowboys. They're at Seattle. Now, if they can navigate through there, I don't say unscathed. I say if they can get through that, let's say they win three of their next five games, which is very possible. They're sitting there with three losses. Their last three games are layups. Two against the Giants and one against the Cardinals. Two of them are in Philadelphia. That is because San Francisco faltered in that middle of the season three-game losing streak. Because of that, San Francisco is probably going to have to go on the road and face Philly once again in the playoffs. Now, they've got to go to Philly. What's the date on that? December 3rd. That is going to be a tough environment. And the 49ers, for them to even have a prayer of getting home field advantage throughout the NFC playoffs, they pretty much have to run the table. Now, there's going to come a point where San Francisco's not going to worry about it, and they're just going to say, well, we got to do what we got to do. We're going to have to go out there and win some road games. It is what it is. But it's a shame because it was set up for San Francisco, and then some injuries and just some bad football play set up a really, really bad situation for the 49ers now, where they're looking at realistically needing to win every game. If they can win week after week, game after game, the 49ers will catch Philly, and they'll have a they would obviously have the tiebreaker if they beat Philly in Philly. And it would force probably not the NFC Championship game, but the divisional round the week before would be in San Francisco. And then you would just be hoping for someone to upset Detroit. But that's just kind of a look in. And look, I still believe that San Francisco is the best team in the NFC. But when you drop three in a row, it puts some doubt in there. But I am going to put them as my number three team in the NFL, behind the Chiefs, the Eagles, and then San Francisco. And then I'm going to go ahead and put the Detroit Lions, just because they continue to win. They find ways to win. And I'm going to put them right there at number four. Really close behind them would be the Baltimore Ravens. And that's my top five. And then if you look at 6 through 10, I think it plays out fairly easily. I think you automatically have got to put the Dolphins there at number 6. Now, the problem with the Dolphins is they are paper champions. They are paper lions. They look great on the stat sheet, but when every single time that the Miami Dolphins face the upper echelon of the NFL, they get waxed. The Bills beat them 48-20. The Eagles beat them 31-17. They lost in Germany to the Chiefs 21-14. It wasn't that close. Now they're going to have an opportunity to get right. They're going to play the Raiders, the Jets, the Commanders, the Titans, the Jets. And then they'll finish it off with three tough games, Cowboys, Ravens, and Bills. But who knows what these games will mean to these teams at that point in the season. So you're going to see the Dolphins pad the stats again. I expect them to blow out the Raiders. They're coming off a bye. I expect them to go in there and find a way to beat the Jets. I don't think they'll score a lot of points in that Black Friday game against New York in New York, but I think they'll do enough to win the game. They'll beat the Commanders. They'll easily beat the Titans. That's a Monday night game, by the way. But then after that Jets game, where they'll probably be pretty beat up physically, that's when the rubber's going to meet the road. And what we're going to get is a litmus test right before the playoffs of Cowboys, Ravens, and Bills. And I would think the Bills are probably fighting for something in that final week. How do they respond? Now, the Dolphins may not have anything to play for in that final week. They may have already wrapped up the division and may not have anything to gain. But regardless, Cowboys and Ravens is going to be a litmus test. And they probably will have something to gain to beat Buffalo for a lot of reasons. but mainly because if they don't win the two games prior to that, what is their record looking like? But I'm still putting the Dolphins there as the number six team, and I'm going to put the Jacksonville Jaguars at number seven. I know they looked a little bad last week, but that was a perfect storm of problems. It's a perfect storm of problems. When you're facing the San Francisco 49ers, who arguably have the most complete team in the National Football League, they're coming off a bye, as well as Jacksonville was. But the 49ers are coming off a bye, and they're on a three-game skid. You knew there were going to be problems going into that game. So that's my top seven. So really it comes down to who's 8, 9, and 10. I've got to put the Cowboys there at number 8. I have the most faith in the rest of these teams that we're about to mention. I have the most faith in that team making the playoffs. So the Cowboys are my number 8 team. And number 9 and number 10, I'll have much more to comb through next week. But right now, I believe the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to find a way to beat Cleveland this week without Deshaun Watson. If Deshaun Watson was healthy, I'd probably be leaning with the Browns right now. But that's really difficult to pick the Browns. As good as that defense is, the quarterback play is going to be pedestrian at best. So give me the Steelers on that number 9 slot, and then you got one more team. And I'm looking at the way these teams are playing, and I'm looking at how impressed I've been with one young man in particular. And everybody told us last year during the draft that he wasn't grading well. People didn't like his decision making, blah, blah, blah. And I kept saying, I don't understand it, because he looked phenomenal, not only in several of his games in college, but also in the playoff game against Georgia. C.J. Stroud was phenomenal. C.J. Stroud is carrying this Houston Texans on his back. And he just went into Cincinnati and beat the Bengals. I can't put the Bengals there because they spit the bit at home against the Texans. I don't see myself leaning with the Vikings, although I am fascinated with what Dobbs can do. I can't lean with Minnesota. Their defense just isn't there. We already took Cleveland out of it. The argument that you can, and it's a good argument, would be Seattle sitting at 6-3. I just think on a neutral field, the Houston Texans would beat the Seattle Seahawks, because Houston has more firepower when it comes to C.J. Stroud versus Geno Smith. Give me C.J. all day long. So that's who my number 10 team is, and that's my top 10. Some of the very good teams on the outside looking in, we talked about Seattle. We mentioned Cincinnati. The Buffalo Bills, they got to get their head out of their rear. It's there for the taking, but Buffalo's got to start playing the kind of football we've seen them play over the last few years, and not whatever the hell they're doing now. They're finding every single way to lose every single game that they play. I mean, that debacle against the Broncos on Monday night was pathetic. Pathetic. I don't even have the Broncos in my top 14 right now. I mean, I would have... I'm sorry, the Bills. I don't have the Bills in my top 14 right now. I would have to put Cincinnati up above them. I would have to put Seattle above them. Hell, if you could tell me that Dobbs would continue to play the way he has, I'd probably put Minnesota above them. And when you have teams that are still in the mix there, mainly the Chargers, you never know what you're going to get from them. But the Chargers got outplayed by Detroit. They did not play a bad game against the Lions. They scored on every single possession they got in the second half and still lost by a field goal. Detroit just out-executed them. There's another couple of teams that are on the outside looking in. I have no faith in Buffalo, which is strange because I think Josh Allen is one of the funnest athletes to watch in all sports. But they just have not gotten it straight. They've got an opportunity to get a big division win this week. And then after that, the Buffalo Bills have got to wake up, and they got to wake up quick. They have got some big – they are playing at the Eagles, at the Chiefs, at home against the Cowboys, at the Chargers. They finish at the Dolphins. That is an absolute brutal stretch. And they can't complain because they should have been beating teams with ease that they were dropping games left and right. It all goes back to that first game of the season where they lose to the Jets on the special teams play. Aaron Rodgers played four damn snaps and they lose the game. They lost to the terrible Patriots. They lost to the Broncos at home. They have no... And you can't tell me this is all Dorsey's fault. Please. If you believe that, I got a few bridges I might want to sell you. All right, let's take a really quick break. When we come back, we're going to take a look at the opening lines and get you set because, hey, Football Friday's right around the corner. We'll be making those picks. Be back in a flash here on Braves Country Radio. Keep it locked in.
Oh, I got your coffee.
Oh, okay. Let me hear
it. Yeah, nah, it's on me. Oh, man. Okay, listen, guys, I'm going to be late. I'll see you, okay?
Yeah.
Bye.
Mm. You see what just happened here?
What?
She treated me to the Arabian Mocha Java.
And you misinterpret this how?
She's sticking it to me that she makes more money than me.
I'm sure she was just being nice, buying you the coffee.
No, not nice. She's sticking it to me.
You're crazy.
Sticking it to me, Jerry.
George!
Sticking it!
Braves Country Today. We're talking Southern sports. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE. Braves Country Today, Southern Sports Talk with the voice of Braves Country Baseball, Mac McGee. Joined every day from sports analysts from all over Braves Country talking college football, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and what's trending in the world of sports. Braves Country Today. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE.
It all starts with just one thing. When recycling, rinse out jars and cans, and avoid recycling wax paper or paper soiled with food. This will reduce recycling contamination. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
Because we've been playing it fundamentally the same way for so long, the way that we can find the benchmarks that cross generations and cross decades is to be able to use these statistics as if they were labels. They aren't numbers. 300 hitter is not a number. The 300 hitter is a tag that means something today as it did in 1930, as it did in 1890. So the statistics become a means by which we can connect to the permanence. I can make that comparison with my father, who could have made it with his father, on that common language of statistics.
Look out, that I'm a West Coast threat. One bad mother got a rattlesnake suitcase under my arm.
Guns N' Roses action for you. Let's get it. On a thirsty Thursday, how about it? Take a real quick look at the lines as we get you set for a thirsty Thursday. And remember, catch us on Braves Country Radio on YouTube tonight. Cincinnati heading to Baltimore to take on the Ravens. And doesn't get much better, much bigger this time of year. Baltimore in that game, by the way, -3.5. The over-under is 45. What I like the most in this game is the teaser. It's not going to be a part of my 12-pack. I do those on Fridays, but I really like the teaser in this game. I like taking the Bengals. If you can get a good number, good odds on a 7-point teaser and get it down to 38.5, Bengals getting at that point 10.5. I love that. Those are usually -140. So if you want a little better odds, then you can play with the +9.5. I think that'll still be plenty. And you could get the number down below 39, down to 39.5 on a 6-point teaser. So you're talking about just having to crack 40. And I do believe these two teams will put points on the board. I don't think it's going to be any kind of a shootout. Don't get me wrong on that. But I do believe you're going to be talking about some interesting. When you talk about 45.5, that seems about right. And it really does seem like you're going to end up with a team in the Cincinnati Bengals that will be able to get into the low 20s. Along with Baltimore, this feels like a field goal game. So I don't hate taking the Bengals just with the 3.5. This is a do or die spot for the Bengals. But at the same token, the Ravens are backed into a corner after losing the game against Cleveland. So it's going to be a bloodbath. I cannot wait. Should be a lot of fun. We look forward to bringing it to you tonight. Remember, find us on Braves Country Radio. We will bring you the radio play-by-play. The National Football League. Let's take a look at a couple of the other lines before we have to run out of here on a busy, thirsty Thursday. Cleveland is still a 1-point favorite against the Steelers. I don't see it. I get it. I understand. They're going to be at home. Their defense has been elite. So is Pittsburgh's. And I'm just going to lean on the fact that I believe that Pittsburgh will find a way to score a few more points than the Browns. Really looking at that one big time. Here's the other thing that's interesting in this. The over-under in this game is 33.5. So, and I do believe it is going to be a rock fight. What if you take a 6-point teaser in this game and take the Steelers, that'll take you up to 7 points. You can even do in a 6.5, which is usually -130. Could be a little higher or a little lower depending on your book. But you could get the Steelers +7, +7.5, somewhere in that neighborhood. And then you could take the over under up to 39.5, taking the under. Obviously, a 6.5 teaser would take you all the way to 40. I like that. Because this game feels like the first one to 13, the first one, definitely the first one to 16 wins this one. And I do believe the Steelers will hang around in there. This is a perfect, perfect line to go ahead and grab as a teaser. Even if you don't do the whole game as a teaser, you just take the Steelers and tease that line up to a touchdown, you got to love that. There's another game right there on the board right next to it. You look at the Bears and the Lions. The Lions are a 9-point favorite, and that screams teaser as well. Maybe we start giving you teaser Thursdays. But that screams teaser. You take the Steelers and you take the Lions. Lions would then only have to win by 2, and you love that action. Not a big fan of this Chargers-Packers game. It's a 3-point game, over under 44.5. Raiders and Dolphins. Dolphins 13.5-point favorite. I figure they're going to drill them. This is what the Dolphins do. They run up the score on the bad teams, especially when they're at home. Washington, you believe this? They're an 8.5-point favorite at home against the Giants. Woo! That smells like some, give me a little Giants action there. Washington's going to blow out the Giants. I don't know about that. Last game they played was 14-7. I don't see it being much different. Jaguars are a 7-point favorite at home against the Titans. Seems about right. You're going to ask me to take the line one way or the other. I would probably take Jacksonville, but I love the idea of teasing that line down to just a 1-point game. If you want to do an AFC South teaser action, What if you grab Jacksonville at home, Houston at home, versus the Cardinals? The Cardinals are getting only 5 points. Seems like a trick. But I love taking Houston in that game. All you got to do is get a Houston win and a Jaguar win. That's a great teaser right there. 49ers are going to blow out the Buccaneers. 11.5-point favorite. They're going to win by 17 or more. Jets and Bills, 7 points. Really leaning towards possibly taking the Jets, but we'll get into all that tomorrow. We do have to run out of here. One more line to look at that we haven't mentioned is interesting one. The Sunday night game, Denver is giving up 2.5 points to Minnesota. I don't trust Denver enough to give up 2.5 points to your local junior high team, much less this Minnesota team that seems more resurgent than ever. All right, we're going to go ahead and take off. Y'all have a good one. Keep it locked in here on WQEE. We'll see you tonight, Braves Country Radio, Thursday Night Football, Bengals, Ravens. Oh, my. Let's get it.
Goodbye, sweetheart, well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart, goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same back time, same back channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE, The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
September, something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah, I know I live to regret it. Just give me another cigarette, please.
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key.